Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation this morning, on this Sunday after Christmas, is a portion of the gospel lesson read before in Luke chapter 2, namely the account of Simeon in the temple, verses 25 through 32, which I would read again as follows. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our newborn Savior and Redeemer, dearly beloved hearers of his most wonderful, precious word. We Christians, by God's grace, had a wonderful spiritual build-up to Christmas during the Holy Advent season, in which our hearts and minds were prepared for the coming of the Savior. Our children then put the happiness of Christmas into scriptural perspective when, in their recitations on Christmas Eve, the last evening of Advent, they reminded us of our great need for this Savior. They reminded us of God's many promises of old concerning His coming. And they reminded us especially of Jesus' perfect fulfillment of all of those prophecies and promises on the first Christmas night. And then on Christmas Day, we explored together the various reasons why we Christians have not just temporary and fleeting happiness, but real, lasting joy from the message of Christmas, from the glad tidings of our Savior's conception and birth. As true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, to be our Redeemer from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. But my dearly beloved brethren, it is not enough just to know all of those wonderful facts and details and comforts of Christmas. It's not enough to know those only with our heads. Just seeing the baby Jesus lying in Bethlehem's manger is not enough. Just knowing that He is there for you isn't enough. But dear Simeon in our text shows us how to make the blessings of Christmas our very own for time and eternity as the blessed result of taking the Christ child up into our arms of faith. That result, according to our text, is threefold. First of all, that Christ child then brings peace to our hearts. For being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. Secondly, Jesus brings purpose to our lives. He gives us something to do. He gives us a mission to carry out for him. The most important mission that you and I could ever be entrusted with here in this world. And thirdly, Jesus brings hope to our future as we look forward, with joy to our departure from this veil of tears to everlasting happiness in heaven. St. Luke tells us, by way of introduction, that this Simeon was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here we have, in other words, among all of those Jews of Jesus' day who had slipped into what we call dead orthodoxy, or mere form religion, going through the motions, here we have a true believer of the Old Testament. He was just. Not just because of his own goodness and merit before God, but he was justified, as was faithful Abraham, by faith in the promised Messiah. And he was devout, sincerely loving God's precious word, sincerely loving the habitation of God's house, where his honor dwells in the preaching and teaching of his precious word. Simeon hung out in the temple, we would say, day in and day out, as also did Anna, of whom we heard in the gospel lesson before. What better place could there be for them to spend their time? Simeon, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds of Bethlehem, was looking forward in patient faith, our text says, to the consolation of Israel. He was looking forward to the helper and the comforter of his people, whose advent had been foretold by all the prophets since the world began. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, Luke writes in our text. God's own Holy Spirit, who had created this saving faith in Simeon's heart by the power of the gospel manifested in the Old Testament scriptures, who had preserved him in that faith throughout his life to that very day, as he continued in the Lord's precious word, and very obviously had also strengthened him in that faith to the extent that his devout life as a Christian was shining forth as a beacon to others in that city of Jerusalem, as clear, unmistakable, but external evidence of his confidence in the coming Savior. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, we don't know exactly how, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed one, the Messiah of God promised throughout the Old Testament. What a wonderful and reassuring promise that was to this aging believer. You're not going to die until you have seen the coming of this Messiah fulfilled to you in all of its glory. How singularly blessed he must have felt with that comforting prospect in view. Do you feel that blessed, my dear brother or sister in the Lord? You should, you know, because you and I not only have that as a promise to us, we have that in fulfillment to us. For in the Holy Scriptures, which testify of Jesus, John 5:39, we have already seen the Lord's Christ. We have seen him with better acuity than if we saw him with our own myopic eyes. We've seen him in all of his splendor, manifested to us in the Scriptures, particularly of the New Testament, where we see him as our Redeemer and Savior, where we see him as our Mediator and Advocate with the Father, where we see him as our Protector and Defender, where we see him as our Divine Prophet, Priest, and King, in much greater and more glorious detail than Simeon did with his own two eyes. Just think of what we have to be thankful for as New Testament Christians. And so let us not only be thankful for it, but let us show forth our gratitude for that superb advantage that we have even over Simeon, by using God's precious word, his revealed knowledge, diligently and faithfully. Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, that place to which the same Spirit also leads us for the knowledge of the truth. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, since he was made under the law, as we heard in the epistle lesson before, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. What a fitting place for this glimpse of the Messiah in his state of humiliation. A tiny babe, wrapped, no doubt, still in swaddling clothes, in the arms of his sinful mother, in the presence of his sinful foster father, a helpless baby. Here was Christ, the Lord God of heaven and earth, made under the law, subject to its demands in our place, fulfilling it even at this tender age of 40 days. Not because he needed to do that for himself, but because we needed him to do that for us in order to satisfy God's justice in our place. Of all the babies probably in attendance there in the house of God that day with their parents, Jesus stood out to Simeon. He spotted him right away. Not because of some supernatural glow that emanated from his face, not because of the holy aura around Mary, his mother, but because of the Holy Spirit's leading. Just as that Holy Spirit identifies him to men today through his word, saying, for example, through John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There he is. Reach out. Hold him in your arms. Enjoy the blessings that he has come to give you. Simeon took up in his arms this child and blessed God. He glorified God in that wonderful song of praise which we call the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing every communion Sunday. After having received the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the visible elements of bread and wine. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Lord had indeed fulfilled his special promise to Simeon in letting him see with his own two eyes the one who would bring salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. But Simeon was not just seeing the physical Christ before him. He was seeing, as we also do by faith, all that this divine person was to accomplish for sinful mankind. As this is clearly revealed in the Holy Scriptures of both the Old and the New Testament. Here was, Simeon says, the salvation which God had prepared before the face of all people. This wasn't just for Simeon to see. This was not just for Mary and Joseph to see, or Anna there in the temple. This was not just for the Jews of that day when Jesus walked visibly among them in this world. It wasn't just for them to see, but it was for all people to see in the gospel. For all people to know from the gospel as its only source, for all people to accept as true, because it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was for all people to trust in for their very own salvation. Indeed, dear brethren, as we, like Simeon of old, take this Christ child into our arms by faith, we have, as the result, the very same benefit that Simeon had. Peace. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in Romans 5:1. Peace of heart. Rest for our souls, Jesus himself calls it in John 14. This is the indescribable peace that assures us that we are no longer God's enemies, as we certainly were by nature. That we are no longer doomed to hell and destruction because of our transgressions. But rather that God, for Christ's sake, no longer charges our sins against us. He is not the judge lying in wait to destroy us. And when we enfold the Christ child in confidence of that blessed fact, Paul says that we are justified. We are personally forgiven of all of our sins against God, and we are possessors of the peace that only he can give now that his justice has been completely satisfied. This is the peace of God that is so awesome that it passeth all human understanding. What an unspeakably great blessing to a poor, miserable, wretched sinner like you and like me. You have seen God's salvation in his precious gospel. And so have I. Just very recently in the glad tidings of Christmas. So as you see this child before you in the gospel, take him up into your arms of faith. Like Simeon of old. And make his peace your very own. That's what he wants. And pray to him, as we do with Luther in that Christmas cradle song, "Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee." But now we see from our text a second blessed result of taking the Christ child up into our arms of faith, namely that he brings purpose to our lives so that we work zealously to spread the glad tidings of salvation also to other people. Simeon sings in his praise to the Lord not only that his salvation has been prepared before the face of all people, but that this bringer of salvation was to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The dear old Simeon knew from all of those prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures concerning the Messiah and his coming, including those which spoke of him as a light of the Gentiles, Isaiah chapter 60, where the prophet speaks in spirit to Jesus himself and says, "The Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And in chapter 42, where the Father speaks to Christ saying, "I, the Lord, will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." These and many other prophecies clearly show that although the Jews had a distinct advantage over thousands of years in being the custodians of the oracles of God, of having the precious words of God in their purity extended to them or given over to them in their keeping as stewards, yet God's salvation had really been intended from the beginning for all people. As Paul writes to Timothy, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And we, brethren, are Gentiles. We are non-Jews. And God's gracious will toward us should so fill us with gratitude to God that we cheerfully shoulder the responsibility that he has given us, the purpose that he has given to us in our lives to be missionaries for our Savior, to spread his gospel far and wide, beginning, of course, in our own backyard, so to speak, as the scriptures plainly tell us, and then spread it out from there. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard in our study and hearing of God's word. And God's salvation was also the glory of his people Israel, Simeon says. The sure vindication of God's promises of old that the Messiah, first of all, was to come from the tribe of Judah, from the Jewish people, and that he was to be a descendant from King David's family. But to the true Israel, to the children of the promise, as Paul explains this, who trusted the prophecies in faith, this Savior certainly would be the crowning glory. And the true Israel includes also us. This wonderful gospel is to be our source of rejoicing. It is to be our very own salvation through faith in his holy precious blood as the real Passover lamb. How sad, therefore, that so many of his people of old, the Jews who had the advantage of having the oracles of God, how many of them rejected him in unbelief in spite of all the opportunities that they had. So that John writes in the first chapter of his gospel account, he came to his own, and his own received him not, just as the prophets had said. And yet the Lord in his mercy still wants the Jews to be our mission prospects, along with all others for whom our precious Savior shed his blood. So we dedicate ourselves anew to the purpose that the Lord himself has given to our lives, namely that we be zealous and courageous witnesses unto him, and to the wonderful salvation that he not only is, but that he brings and has prepared before the face of all people, so that others may know what we know. When you look out upon the world in which we live and understand how abysmally ignorant people generally are of the true way to heaven, how could we do less? Just walk past them with a satisfying smirk or smile on our face saying, I've got a secret and I'm not going to share it with anybody. When God wants all men to come unto the knowledge of this truth, how shall they hear without a preacher, without someone to tell them? How shall they preach except they be sent? The Lord has sent us. He has told us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That command isn't given only to Christian pastors, it's given to you. It's the purpose of your life, so that others may know what you know unto salvation. But now, dear Simeon has one final result to show us from taking the Christ child up into his arms of faith, and that is that this precious Savior brings hope to our future, particularly as we look forward to departing from this veil of tears to heaven. This is a hard part of this particular gospel text for a lot of people, because they say, at Christmas time, we don't want to think about that. Temporal death should not be on our mind at Christmas time, but only life. We hear that a lot. Well, the Holy Ghost had made this promise to Simeon, particularly to comfort him in the face of his impending death. And we would certainly be doing disservice to this text if we did not consider this. The Holy Ghost had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before, until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now that he had seen him, both with his physical eyes and with his spiritual eyes focused on the Word, Simeon confidently declares, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He was ready. He was ready cheerfully. He was ready peacefully to depart this life and to reap the benefits of salvation which God had prepared for him. What a wonderful personal prayer of thanksgiving for his deliverance. Temporal death for the Christian, you see, should be no source of terror or dismay at all. For Christ, God's salvation, has conquered death for us. Certainly because of the weakness of our flesh, our sinful weakness, death is still a bitter pill to swallow. But when we Christians contemplate our ultimate departure from this evil world, we're not done until we're done. We still have to fight off the last-ditch efforts of Satan to use our weaknesses against us, to shake our confidence in Christ our Savior, to make us fear that from which all fear has been stripped by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can fight the onslaughts of the devil only with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written. In unmistakable terms, the challenge to death itself that should ever be on our lips and in our hearts, not only when we are healthy and strong, but when we are sick and weak, and when we are on our deathbed, is, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's not the end. The sting of death is sin. That's what puts the terror into death. And the strength of sin is the law. That's what makes sin so bad. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. The victory over sin, the victory over death, the victory over the grave through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is, according to Scripture, confident anticipation. Hope in the face of death is the test of our faith. There's no guesswork involved in this. Unbelievers express hope regarding things in this world that they can't control, but their hope is simply a shot in the dark. Real confidence that God will do for us what he has promised he will do, both here in time and in the hour of death and into all eternity, that's what our faith is based on. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, so that we can come hoping for salvation into the house of God every Sunday when we're healthy and strong. We can hope, we can look forward with joy, even to heaven, as a theoretical place of peace and rest when we die, which we imagine to be sometime down the road. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. For that is what the poor wretches have who regard Jesus only according to a so-called social gospel. Jesus is our Savior from ourselves. Jesus is our Savior from poverty. Jesus is our Savior from disease, unemployment, and all the rest of the vicissitudes of life. That's not the hope that we have as Christians. We have the hope based on the first fruits of our faith. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The prototype of believers who have departed this life like Simeon in peace according to God's word. Jesus says, because I live, ye shall live also. And when we take this precious Christ child of ours up into our hearts by faith, into our arms of faith, we not only have access to this hope, we have the hope itself. The writer to the Hebrews assures us, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That's what Simeon had by the grace of God. That's what God wants you and me to have by the grace of God. Oh, therefore, take him up, as Simeon did, into your arms of faith. Hold him fast in confidence. Hold him fast in anticipation of what he has promised to you. Hold him fast for the results of your confident faith, namely peace for your troubled heart. Real meaningful purpose to your lives here in this world as you spread his precious gospel to other people. And hope to your future. Not your future just tomorrow. Not hope to your future as you wait to see your children or grandchildren graduate from high school. Not for your future in retirement and rest from your labor here in this world, but hope for your future in the face of death. As you confidently declare with Simeon, in peace and joy, I now depart. I hold my Jesus to my heart. Nor fear nor hell can vex me sore when I shall stand at death's dark door. 'Tis but the gate to heaven. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten us Gentiles, and the glory of God's people, Israel, the true Israel, the children of God, by faith in Jesus. Amen. And that peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior, unto life everlasting. Amen.